This is the day the Lord has made. Are you happy to be in the house of God? Amen. I'm delighted to be in the house of the Lord. And God has some very, very special things for us today. Amen. I'd like, today's going to be a family Sunday. So please, parents, make sure that you take care of your children. It's very, very important even when we're having prayer here, know where your children are. Amen. It is a good thing when we take care of our children so that they are not moving up and about everywhere. And then when it is time for prayer, it's a time of worship, we don't want any distraction when we are worshiping the Lord. Amen? So please, let's, parents, you still love me? Amen? Let's take care of those children, and the Lord is going to bless us. Amen? Before us here, we have some emblems. Every Family Sunday this year, we shall be partaking of the table of the Lord. And so you can come prepared every Family Sunday at the end of the month. We will be partaking of of this ordinance that the Lord told us to be reminding, to be doing it as frequently as we could in honor of his name. Praise the Lord. And I remember many, many years, you know, when God saw the cry of the children of Israel in the land of Egypt, he called Moses to come and he called on Moses to come and deliver them from the land of captivity into a promised land. And I know most of you know the story, how the story went, you know, when Moses was sent out, prepared enough by the Lord, you know, to go and deliver the children of Israel. He went to the land of Egypt, whereby God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. And it was not until there were about 10 plagues that Pharaoh had to release the people of God. And when he released them, the children of Israel, even to this day, they celebrate Passover. Now, what happened when the angel of death, during the 10th plague, most of you can remember, the Lord instructed the children of Israel to have a lamb of sacrifice slaughtered, and then they would smear blood on their doorpost. And at that 10th plague, what happened was, when the angel of death came, he was targeting the sons of the Egyptians. And so all the sons, the firstborns of the Egyptians were killed at that particular day. But the angel of death passed over, praise the Lord. He passed over the homes of the Israelites. And since from that day, that was, you know, on the 10th plague, the heart of Pharaoh was softened, and he released the children of Israel to go into the land that the Lord had promised them. And so time immemorial, since that time, the children of Israel have been celebrating Passover. And normally it's in the month of Nisan, which to us is between the month of March and April, and that's why we have Easter. You know, they celebrate the celebrations of Passover. And so during the death of Jesus, as Jesus is going to the cross, it was almost at the same time when they were celebrating Passover. And so, actually, this is part of my message today. And so they are sent into an upper room with his disciples. But instead of celebrating what was supposed to be a Passover, it was a celebration of an establishment of a new covenant. Praise the Lord. The shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, the crushing of his body to the cross. A new covenant was established whereby anybody who comes to the Lord is accepted as a son in the kingdom of God. And so when the Lord performs this ordinance with his disciples in the upper room, he says, do this as often as you might in remembrance of what I did for you. Praise the Lord. Were it not for the Lord, we would not be here. Why not for the Lord, we would be very, very separated from the love of God. But just because of his death on the cross of Calvary, just because of his shedding of blood, there is remission of sin. Praise the Lord. And so anybody who have accepted the Lord and Savior as Savior can come boldly into his presence, and he can be accepted in his beloved. And so this morning, what we want to do, we have a cup with a juice on it, and then we have a piece of bread. And so the bread represents the body that was crushed on the cross of Calvary. The juice inside the cup represents the blood that oozed out of the body of Christ, the blood that was shed for the remission of sins, my sins and your sins, that now boldly we can come into the presence of God. And Jesus said, this is very, very essential. Do this as often as you might in remembrance of that particular day. Amen. So Paul, writing to the Corinthians, he cautions them of partaking of the table of the Lord in an unworthy way. You know, this is very, very significant. It's not just a piece of bread. You know, you can walk into any store, like in the family stores, and you can buy this. But when we partake of this, it has greater significance in that it represents the crushing, the beaten body of our Christ that was given for our sake, and the shedding of his blood. So we need to take it in an awesome way, in a way that would not betray the process of the cross. And so Paul, writing to the Corinthians, he says, anybody who partakes of these ordinances ought to examine in themselves. Make sure that you partake of it when you're right with God. Amen? And so when we partake of it, it is necessary for every believer to re-examine themselves, to ask God to cleanse them and to purify them. And if there's anybody that you've not forgiven, to ask the Lord to help you so that you can forgive them. If you're not born again, you don't qualify to take of these emblems, because these emblems represents, if you know, for you to be a partaker, you should have taken in the Lord as your personal Savior. Praise the Lord. And so I'm just going to call Brother Israel again here to the keyboard, and Nathan. And as we sing this song, I would like us to re-examine ourselves. You know, examine yourself. Normally what I do is I ask the Lord, Lord, help me. Remind me of something that I did that I can't even remember this time, because I want to be pure even as I take these emblems. You know, I know that we are the righteousness of Christ. We've been given the power to become sons of God. But how many of you know that sometimes we come and maybe you said a word that was unfavorable to somebody. At that point, that's when you ask the Lord, Lord, scan through my life. And Lord, I repent if there is anything that would obstruct the process or be an impediment to the process of the cross. Amen. Hallelujah. And so I want us to sing this song that says there is power in the blood of Jesus. And as we say this, I would like everybody to close their eyes, and I would like you to focus unto the Lord right now as you ask the Lord to prepare you, even as we partake of these emblems this morning. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lord. There is power, power, wonder in the precious blood. Oh, there is victory, victory, wonder working victory in the blood of the Lord. There is victory, victory, wonder working in the precious blood. Oh, there is deliverance, deliverance, wonder working deliverance in the blood. Oh, in the blood of the Lord. There is deliverance, deliverance, wonder-working deliverance in the precious blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, 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 the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus, it washes us. There is power mighty in the blood. There is power mighty in the blood. There is power mighty in the blood of Jesus Christ. There is power mighty in the blood. There is power mighty in the blood.
There is power mighty in the blood. There is power mighty in the blood of Jesus Christ. There is power mighty in the blood. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, we worship you. Father, we worship you. Father, we give you the glory and the honor. Father, we worship you. Father, we worship you. Father, we honor you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to call upon Pastor Chilodika to come and give thanks for the cup. And after we do that, I'm going to call Pastor Francis to come and give thanks, even for the bread. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Sparing him. We thank you that you gave him as a ransom. Or even knowing what he was going to go through, but you let him come. We thank you, Lord, for the blood that he shed on that cross of Calvary. The blood, Lord, that speaks better things for us. The blood, oh God, that made us to be forgiven of our sins. We thank you and we give you the praise. And Lord, even as we partake of this emblem today, we are praying, help us to remember what Jesus did for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And amen. Thank you.
Jehovah God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, dear Lord, even for sending Jesus, knowing what he was supposed to come and do in this world. Jesus Christ, you allowed your creation, the people that you created with your own hands, to nail you on the cross, flog you all, dear Lord, 39 strokes on your back, that we may be healed. We worship you, dear Lord, for what you did unto Calvary. Why not for what you did today, dear Lord? Will be people that will be perished, King of Glory. The devil will be shining up there, knowing that he's a conqueror. But today you conquered death, oh Lord, because you died on the cross, you were buried, and you rose from the dead. Today we are free. Today we are free. Today we are walking shoulder high, knowing that you liveth forever. Knowing, Lord Jesus, that where you are today, we'll be seated with you all the rest of our days. We worship you, Jehovah God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for good job that you did there unto Calvary. Were it not for you, dear Lord, dear Lord, dear Lord, we can't make it. We couldn't make it, but we are doing it now. We overcome him, my God. We overcome us, Lord, because you did it unto Calvary. We worship you. We exalt you. We magnify you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen.
I'm going to ask this man of God to pass this emblems to you. Once you get the cup has the bread, and it has it is attached to the juice. I believe it's grape juice. Just hold it until everybody is served, and then we are going to partake the bread together. And after we partake the bread together, we are going to come, and then we shall partake of the, you know, the representation of the blood of Jesus. Amen. Israel.
Thank you for the cross,
The Bible says in the book of Luke 22, verse number 19, and he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So what we're going to do is you're going to peel that cup. Make sure you get the bread. And we're going to partake it together. Okay? Let us do it right now. In Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And the Bible says, likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, for which is shed for you. So, and he gave thanks also for the cup. And so we are going to partake together. This cup that represents the shedding blood of Jesus Christ, through which our sins have been forgiven. Let us all take together in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And you can pass those cups, you know, to the aisle, and somebody's going to come and collect them. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Why don't you open up your mouth and just thank God for the blood this day? Thank God. Thank God for the privilege that he has given you to become a son and a daughter of the kingdom. Father, we thank you. We honor you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We deserve to die. You never did, Lord. But you did it on our behalf. And you give us access to our Father. And through your death, Lord, the curtain of the temple split into two, giving access to any whosoever believes in you, so that he or she is called the son of God, would gain access to the place called the Holy of Holies, and that we would call you Abba, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. We worship you and we honor you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say it, amen. Amen. Can you give Jesus a hand of praise? I feel like we need to do one African song. I don't know. I just feel. You feel like that too? Why don't you stand on your feet? You know this song that says "Ekile kile ah Zambia moyo." You know how to sing it? They say "Ekile kile ah Zambia moyo." You know that? Why are you still seated? I told you to stand on your feet. Aya.
Nitamwimbia Bwana kwa kuwa yeye ameniona.
Nitamwimbia Bwana kwa kuwa yeye ameniona.
Kweli nitamchezea Bwana kwa kuwa yeye ameniona.
How we used to sing that song, surely. You remember how we used to clap our hands and dance? Or we are still corroborating? It will come, eh? Okay. Bring it a little bit low. Nita. What key was that? give me
Give me one, Lord.
Nitamwimbia Bwana kwa kuwa yeye ameniona.
Nitamwimbia Bwana.
Clap your hands.
Kwa kuwa yeye ameniona.
Jamani, nitamwimbia Bwana kwa kuwa yeye ameniona.
Somebody tell them, why not? We can dance in the house of our Father. Amen, 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 amen. I'm really, really excited and ready for this morning. First of all, I just want to thank God for the opportunity that he has afforded us to come into the house of the Lord. Secondly, I am really, really honored to have the men of God who have come to stood on this pulpit to bring a powerful word of the Lord. Amen. And I feel like I want to build on what, you know, especially Pastor Chilundika started with, you know, about servanthood and about humility. You know, the most interesting thing is, even before I had requested him to come and share, I didn't even know what he was. Actually, I think I told him to share something different, but he felt the Spirit of God leading him to share on this subject. The Lord had already started stirring something in my heart concerning the same. Praise the Lord. And I just feel like I want to build on it, and it's going to be good. This last week, we took some time off with my wife, and we attended a pastor's conference organized by the Potter's House, and it was really, really good. What picture is that, by the way? What picture is that? Oh, praise. In Kenya. Thank you. You are in the spirit, my sister, because I want to talk about that. Praise the Lord. So we had this wonderful opportunity. There were about 20,000 pastors coming from different parts of the world. And they congregated at, Dallas Convention Center.
And we had a powerful, powerful outpouring, power of the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you, church, I'm energized. I feel equipped. I feel, you know, re-energized to serve the Lord and to dedicate my life completely to just serve the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I just pray that, you know, we will catch up with the spirit that I feel that is moving in this house. The spirit that God is pouring among us just to just completely yield ourselves to serve him. Amen. The times in which we are living are perilous times. The times that we are living, they're end time times. This, we are living in the end times whereby the Bible says that in the last days, people would just assume a form of godliness and deny the power of God thereof. I pray and declare that none of those shall be found to happen in our church. That we shall be men and women who assume the power. That we shall be carriers of God, that whenever we go, we will be able to declare the word of the Lord. Praise be to God. That in our offices, men and women will know that, you know what? This office or this company exists because I am here as a child of God. Oh God, I feel such a power to know my position in the Lord has not been compromised. And that when Jesus went he died, he went into hell to deliver and to set the captives free. When he came up there, he came and delivered a key to me to unlock things that are supposed to be unlocked. Church, let me tell you, the times when we walked like rained on chicken. Have you ever seen a rained on chicken? Especially when it was cold. That chicken would go like this and it would gather itself and you would really know that chicken has been rained on. But when the feathers are browsing and it's sunny, that chicken is going and it is, you know, scratching on, and you can see the vibrance in that chicken. Praise the Lord. So I want us to walk tall as men and women that God has significantly deposited some essential stuff in our lives. Praise be to God. Oh, glory be to Jesus. I know I don't have much time, but I know God is going to bless us this day. Amen. Praise be to God. I want to share with us from the book of Luke chapter 22. That is where we shared. And I have the message that I call the privilege of service. Somebody say the privilege of service. Oh, come on, say it if you believe it. The privilege of service. I didn't hear you. And then I've put an addendum there that I call the upper room experience. Praise be to God. Some of us who are older, you know, we experience, you know, the movement, the full gospel movement. And I know some of you can identify with what I'm saying. We saw in the late 70s, you know, in the early, you know, I would say maybe in the mid 70s, late 70s. That is the time that my mother gave. I know some of you are smiling. I know you are not born. And that's why I'm saying this for some of us who are a little bit older. We were able to experience a movement of the gospel of Jesus Christ like I've never seen even in our present day today. I remember the days when my mother surrendered her life to the Lord. There were a bunch of women who would come to our house and they would go into a cave like and they would cry and call upon the name of the Lord. And it was awesome. I mean, you'd attend any service. And the time when I came to realize what was happening, my mother would draw us into the church and we would experience such an outpouring move of the Spirit of God. I remember even way before I was even born again, we would wake up in the morning and we had this thing whereby we would wake up, prepare ourselves. You know, the kids would hover around, prepare themselves. And actually, we were Catholics even at that time. And we'd walk. We didn't even have a car. We would walk about 7 to 10 kilometers to where the church was. And we used to wake up very early. Praise be to God. How many of you remember that you had to walk so many miles to a place, you know, to church? And you better also remember that you may not also have had shoes on your feet. And you'd walk, you'd wash the clothes that you had. All you needed was the presence of God. And people would be hungry. People would, without that was taking place, they started asking Jesus or among us themselves, now who is going to be great among us in the kingdom of God? Can you think? I mean, think about this. It is the few. Jesus has been with these guys for 3 years, okay? And now he has secluded. He has pushed away the public, and they're in a secluded area where nobody would come, pushing against Jesus, needing a miracle. He wants to spend time so that he can communicate the most essential ingredient that they need for the prosperity of the church. He is just about to hand over the baton to a bunch of people who he was with for 3 years. And at this time, they're asking, okay, now who is going to be great into the kingdom, in the kingdom of God? Does it sound like 2013? Whereby we push and pull. Oh, I need to be close to the bishop. I need to be close to the apostle. I need to have men of God surrounding me. We are cajoling and pushing for positions. And Jesus, looking at them, he said, oh God, I can't even believe this. For 3 years, I've walked with these 12 men. I even walked with a robber. I've walked with a man who would betray me. And still, they haven't had the concept. And Jesus guarded himself with a towel. Now, this is recorded in the book of John 13. Guarded on his waist with a towel. And he is going to begin to show them and to teach them about humility and what it means about serving each other. Somebody say amen. And as he wakes up, everybody is silent, and he begins, I believe, maybe with John. And he tells them, you know what, I'm ready to wash their feet now. When we're talking about the feet, now, I know the picture that you have. You're picturing your feet. But your feet are so clean. Because you've never put on, some of you have never even put on sandals in America. You've never even stepped on the ground on America. I remember actually during those days when I went to school and I would see men, somebody who has never put on their shoe. Have you ever seen somebody who actually this heel is so, because of stepping on the floor so many times, it is like, it is a big, what do you call it? It is so elongated and it has cracks actually. Cracks that are alive, but they are not bleeding. Do you know what I'm talking about? Some of you laugh because even if you can remove your shoes, we can see some cracks within. Actually, I had a crack too because I never used to have shoes. But some of those cracks were like anti-slippery. You know, God just developed them to be anti-slippery. You know where I work? I work on trailers that are on places where, you know, there's water every time, you know. Sometimes it's watery on the floor. And so I buy some special shoes so that I cannot slip. You know, when you're walking, you cannot slide so that you can fall. Now, in those days, God created some natural anti-slippery on the feet. The guy is going like this, and, you know, you can see even marks, you know, of like you'd think a shoe just passed by there. Now, in those days, the dirtiest parts of a body was on the feet. You know, so dirty because they never used to have shoes and they had to walk through dust. They had to walk through the mountainous regions as they went to minister the gospel. And Jesus comes and he tells them and he picks up a basin and he's washing their feet. God. Now, that kind of a job was done by slaves. And now not only a slave, but a very low level slave used to come and wash the feet off. Especially, you know, the disciples, they used to wash them. But Jesus Christ, in his lordship, the Messiah, he picked up the basin of water and a towel, and he begins to wash the feet of this dirty feet. He is dealing with the walks, he's dealing with soil, and he is dealing with the dirty feet that have never been washed, you know, even not been washed, and he's doing that to every one of the disciples. And he goes to Peter, he says, no, Lord, you can't wash my feet. And the Lord says, you may not really understand what I'm doing right now, but you will understand it later. And he says, if you do not allow me to wash your feet, then you do not have a part in my kingdom. It is all recorded on a, I don't want us to read because, you know, the text is on a, what did I tell you? The text is there, Luke 12. You can read it. You can read it, all of it. And so he says, if you do not allow me to wash your feet, then you don't have a part in my kingdom. And Peter says, no. You know, Peter, no, okay. Jesus, wash my hands, wash my body, wash everywhere. Because I really want to make the kingdom. Now, Peter was worried about a way whereby things, you know, the way where the Bible records that, you know, the way you treat each other is not like the Gentile kings who lord over the people. And the people that are being lorded over are the people who are being humiliated, and the kings are the benefactor. In other words, it says the kings like to rule over the people with an intention to benefit themselves. And he says this is not how the children of God ought to conduct their service to each other. Praise be to God. That they are supposed to serve each other, not to receive any benefit, but to be a benefit to each other. In other words, the talents and the gifts that you have received are not for your own, but they are meant to be a benefit to another person. Glory be to Jesus. If God has given you a talent to be a teacher, if God has given you a talent to be an evangelist, it is not for your own sake. It is for the benefit of the whole church. And Jesus starts to wash the feet of the apostles. And as he washes them, he says, anyone who understands what I've done, if you do this, you will be blessed. Praise be God. In the church of old, and the church where I knew my mother to belong, I saw people serving each other. I saw men and women honoring each other. I saw them gather together and pray and believe God for certain things, and I saw miracles happen. That was the church of Jesus Christ. But guess what? This also is the church of Jesus Christ. And what they did is also possible in our church today, whereby we can serve each other without thinking of what you can benefit out of that transaction. You've heard that your sister is sick, is in the hospital. You can sacrifice your time and just go be with them. You may not even need to buy anything from any store. All they need is your presence there at the hospital bed. Somebody might be going without food, and you know that you have two bales of flour. You can pick one and have one left for yourself. And you can just go and tell them, my brother, I may not have much, but this one let us share with you. Serving each other. Are you listening to me, church? Let me tell you, church. It is not in who we are. The disciples thought that, you know, just because they were disciples, they were foreseeing a place, an elevated place. If you ever been to a meeting and you know there are seats that are reserved for very important people, it is a reserved VIPs. I don't know whether they're the right VIPs, but it's normally reserved quite normally on the front, you know. And you cannot sit on those seats. Actually, there's a barricade. It is reserved for some dignitaries. That's how the disciples were seeing themselves. Now we have been with you for 3 years. Who is going to be greater? Is it me? Is it Paul? Is it, come on, Jesus, before you go. Is that something that they needed to worry about, really? Well, what was at risk was greater. Jesus is just about to hand over the baton to them to be the carriers. And he says, greater things shall you do if only you believe in me. And what they are worried at this critical hour is to worry who is going to be greater in the kingdom. Hello, church. May God really help us. What is my position? Where? What am I? What is there for me? What am I? What am I gonna do? What benefit am I getting here? What is my position? But Jesus Christ told them, "What I've done to you, if only you know, if you can understand it, you'll be so blessed." Let me tell you, church, to serve the Lord is a privilege. To serve the Lord is an honor. And you know what? Who am I as a pastor, Tony? You know, who am I to this ministry, for example, that I can come and I can stand in the way of God? You think God really can't come and do certain things in this church in spite of me? Don't you think so? Do you know if God decided to do anything in this church, he can do it? In spite of me? or in spite of you. He can do it. Spirit, right? He can do it. But you know what? Many times we complain and cajole and we point a finger at each other. But if you know your specific task that the Lord has given you, that you know for sure in your knower that God has called me to be this and that, and you take it and carry it, and you adjudicate it perfectly, and every single one of us does it, the sky is the limit. Man, I was so blessed yesterday being in the pastor's conference. And I understand when I went up there, I had an announcement that 90% of the people who are participating in that conference were volunteers. Volunteers, not paid anything. Now, the conference started from Thursday and it was ending on Saturday. That means they took time off. They were not getting paid. You would have seen how the ushers welcome people in the church. They were clapping for us. In fact, you would feel like you're a dignitary, a president getting into the church. They were, oh, welcome into the house of God. You know, with such an enthusiasm. And I said, my God, no wonder these people would be blessed. Because they are taking whatever responsibility God has given them. They are carrying their responsibility like they are serving God. Are you listening to me? I know I'm stepping on our toes and I'm stepping on mine too. But let me tell you, the beginning of a breakthrough into our lives is when you as a person decide and you say, you know what, from this point, God, I'm honoring you. Oh my God. That is the greatest statement that can ever come from a person. And you say, God, I decide to honor you. I'm honoring you with my time. I'm honoring you with my finances. I'm honoring you with my service. I'm honoring you with my whatever you put under my care. I'm honoring you with my humility. I'm honoring you with my time when I study the word of the Lord. I'm honoring you, Lord, because I know what you've done for me. Hallelujah. When that is the cry of every single one of us, then that will be the beginning of great things. And miracles will begin to sprout in our lives. Because there will be a miracle there and you'll come and give us a testimony. There will be another miracle over there of the goodness of the Lord. Somebody will come and testify of what the Lord has done. And corporately, we shall enjoy the blessedness of the Lord. You remember when they were going to fight the city of Ai? How many of you can remember what happened to the city of Ai? The city of Ai was a small city, right? And the children of Israel, prior to that, they were going through from city to city, receiving victory after victory. Why? Because God was with them. But they come to this little city, and there was one among them who had sinned against the Lord. And just because of that one particular person, his name was Achan. Right, you remember Achan? They were completely defeated. And so people would come and say, oh, what happened here, Joshua? What happened here? Why were we defeated? Well, people would start to murmur and to complain. In other words, what I'm trying to say is this. When, as a body, we fail in our responsibilities, guess what? We shall be moving forward, but not at the pace that the Lord would want us to move. We'll be moving forward, but not as a pace that we ought to, just because some of us have neglected their position of service. Praise the Lord. I would pray that you would hear from your heart what the Lord is saying. The greatest thing that the Lord would ever do with his disciples. Let me tell you. We can go to meetings and we can go like into that meeting that I went to. It was a very powerful meeting. And I stuff was downloaded in my spirit and I feel I'm ready to go. I can read all the books and I can read all the material and I can spend all the time. But until we make an intentional decision to serve the Lord, things will always stagnate. Are you listening to me? Church, are you listening to me? And I'm speaking this not to us or to you, but also to myself. Because No matter how I download, no matter what I access to, no matter what fellowship I have with a great man of God somewhere, and I can call them anytime, they can pour oil over my face, they can even pray for me, and I've not even decided myself to serve the Lord, it ain't gonna happen. So it has to be intentional that all of us would take seriously the responsibility that the Lord has given us. And God is gonna take us places. Not only as a corporate body, but God is going to take us into places in our personal lives. Man, I wish, I'm not really blowing my trumpets, and you know my heart. But I'm telling you guys, I've had some flaws in my life. I've had some challenges in my life. But in the beginning of this year, there's something I told the Lord. I told him, God, I want to honor you. And I've told you many, many, many times. I'm not saying this to just seem like I'm more spiritual than any one of you. And even as I did that, I failed in some of the responsibilities that I know I'm supposed to have done. Either because of maybe not taking some things seriously. But in most part, I've told God that I want to honor you. Let me tell you guys. And God has continued to surprise me. Surprise me with the little things. May not really be major, but I can see the involvement of the Lord. Something that I was not seeing before I made this declaration. So think about if we can all decide to honor the Lord with our lives, what would happen? I walked into somebody, a servant of God, just the other day. You see this suit that I'm putting on? It is like they knew my measurement. They asked me, oh, pastor, you know what? We've had this suit. And we've been thinking of blessing. I never even told them. They asked, what do you wear? And I told them, you know, what I put on. And they removed the suit and gave it to me. Don't I look sharp? Free of charge. I think this is a $500 suit. Somebody blesses me. In my life, only two people have blessed me with a suit. I've blessed so many people with a suit, with suits. But somebody out of the blues just came and blessed me. And my little things that I may not even tell you, little things, little favors here and there. That I've experienced, oh God, from the Lord. How much if I can give myself 100%, if I can give my 100 to the Lord, my God, 100%, and humble myself so that when I come, I will say, not myself, Lord, but you. It is not about me as Pastor Tony. It is not about me as whoever, as a husband. It is about God. In whatever I engage myself, I will be saying this, that I will be giving 100%, and I'll be saying, it is not about me, Lord, but it is about you. When I serve and when I sacrifice, I'll be saying, it is not about me, but it is about you, oh God. When I make a step towards humility, I'll say, it's not about me, Lord, but it's about you, Lord Jesus. That is where I want to tend to. I'm not there yet, but that's where I'm tending to. So that when I look at my sister, with all her weaknesses and her flaws, I'll accept her as my sister. When I look at my brother with all her weaknesses and negativity, I will come and cover them because they are my sister. I will not take a knife and backbite them while smiling at them. Do you know that is happening in the church today? Somebody is smiling to you and they are holding a knife behind your back. And they are stabbing you and you're bleeding. And before you know it, you're just about to die just because they are backstabbing you. Now, I know this is a very, I don't want you to think that I'm stepping on us, church. But I need to be genuine. I need to be authentic. I want you to feel me as authentic. Are you feeling me? I want, when I talk to Pastor Francis, I want to feel your authenticity. And I want you to feel the same. You know? That when I say, brother, I will pray for you and I care for you. You know that is really genuine and you can take it to the bank. That in spite of my weaknesses, you are going to look at me and you say, pastor, I understand. We are clothed into a human body and I understand and I'm going to stick with you because you are my brother. God understands. That's why he clothed himself in a flesh that has an affinity to sin. And that's why he is seated on the right-hand side of the Father, interceding for you and me, because he understands what we go through. There's nobody who is perfect. If you want to find somebody who is perfect, you better board a plane and go to Mars. Maybe there are people up there who are perfect. But as long as we are going to be on earth, we are going to have some weaknesses. And some of us are going to sometimes say things that they didn't want to say just because they were human beings, and you have to be ready to forgive them. And you have to sing this song. You are my brother again. Huh? What is that song we used to sing? Huh? We are together again. Just praising the Lord. We are together again. Because we are brothers and sisters. Let me tell you, if we have to survive, we have to overlook the weaknesses of one another. I'm not perfect. Don't blame me because you saw I did something that was wrong, Willie. Because even you tomorrow, I'm going to find yourself in a certain thing. How do you want me to expect me to treat you? So to be good to me because tomorrow you expect mercy from me. I love you, bro. Shall we stand on our feet, please? Stand on our feet. Well, I just want to say this, that I love every single one of you, genuinely. And God knows how what time I spend, even in my privacy, I don't even have to tell you. I spend time to pray for you, that God may give you breakthrough, that the Lord may give you success in the things that you do. But the greatest honor that you can give to any authority is to honor God. Honor Him. Put Him first before you or every other thing. To serve God, you will have to sacrifice a little bit sometimes. We'll have to be called, you know, when it is not really right for you to come to a Bible study meeting, maybe a prayer meeting. You'll have to sacrifice. And those are the things, you know, when we come before the Lord, you know, everybody will have to speak before the Lord and speak out of the things that they did here on earth. What are you going to say? What am I going to say? What am I going to tell God that I did? The responsibility that He gave me. And somebody said in the conference that there'll be two hells. The number one hell, and I'm concluding now, the number one hell will be for those people who rejected Jesus, and they'll be sent to hell. But he said the other hell will be for the Lord to open a panorama of things that you are supposed to do or things you're supposed to ask Him for, and they were there, but they were never ordered by you. That will be another hell. Oh, I wish I asked for that. I wish I did this for this brother. You know, the Lord will probably show you somebody who is in hell that you're supposed to communicate with and tell them about Jesus. But you'll be on the other side with God. That will be another hell. So, let the Lord help us. We are all the same. I'm not better than you. If I'm expected to come here to church early, and just before 11, I would also expect you to be here before 11 so that we can come and serve the Lord and just lift up the name of the Lord. Whatever you expect of me or whatever I expect of you, you also expect of me. And we are going to serve the Lord together. Grab the hand of the person standing next to you as we pray together right now. In the name of Jesus. My Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for each and every one of us. We humble ourselves before you, not because we are so special or we are of any significance. We know you are the one who has caused us to be of significant. The gifts and the talents that we have, Lord, they're God-given. We didn't give them to ourselves. And I pray that we shall humble ourselves, O Lord, before the Almighty Father. And to allow you, God, to continue to work in our hearts, O God. And to regard each other as better than ourselves. And to know that God has obligated us to serve each other with authenticity. Father God, if we can just worry about serving you, all these other things will be added to us. Father God, you have put power and authority over our lives to combat the forces of the devil. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus, I take that power and authority in the name of Jesus that has deluded and come against the spirit of the devil that has deluded and deceived the people of God for too long a time. I release them in the name of Jesus. I release them into a freedom, into a freedom whereby they will be able to know that God has called them to serve you. Oh God. How I pray that we shall serve one another just as you commanded us, Lord, when you washed the feet of the disciples. If you, as the Lord and Messiah, had to wash their feet, how much more we ought to serve one another, to hold each other with esteem and to protect each other, because we are sons of the kingdom. We are members of the body. We are supposed to be to take care of each other, because when one member of the body is suffering, the body will become dysfunctional. But as a body, we want to esteem each other, to call each other and to pray for each other and to worry for each other and to love each other genuinely in the name of Jesus. And therefore, the law of Christ will be fulfilled. I speak a blessing over every family in this church. Everyone who is connected to this church, oh God, I speak a blessing to them. Lord, I pray that you shall open up an avenue, a street, whatever needs to be opened, a door that has been locked for a long time, open it on their behalf. Financial miracles, dear Jesus. Oh God, restoration of relationships in the name of Jesus. Whatever anybody needs, oh God, stretch forth your hand, oh God, and meet with them at the point of their need in the name of Jesus, because they are sons and daughters of the kingdom. Honor the cries of their hearts, Lord, that is made in the middle of the night. Father God, may you honor them in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Heavenly Father, and I bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody say amen. 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 Can we give Jesus a hand of praise? Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Pastor, for the word. Have you received it? Amen. Let's receive the word of God as it came forth, and let's do it. Amen.